as far as mentally, last week we had a great week with revival, and we had revival in this Bible class hour. And so we're talking about our series, Bible Characters with a Cause. And so last week we did Noah and his cause, Genesis chapter 50. We did Noah and how he had a cause and fulfilled that. That's what we talked about, I guess, 2 weeks ago. And as we're going with our theme this year, Is There Not a Cause? We're looking at people who lived with causes. And this week we're going to do Joseph. Joseph in Genesis chapter 50. Who has a blessing to share? By the way, teenagers are back in the back. Who has a blessing to share? Something to praise the Lord for this week. You must have had terrible weeks this week. Yes, ma'am.
My stepfather, we went in for some testing and they saw something wrong with his liver, but they thought it was serious. It's a cyst, but it's not a serious thought.
So. Okay, good. All right, who else? Yes, sir.
Revival this past week was a blessing.
Okay.
And okay,
good. Tina?
I had a niece named Michelle who was in a very serious car crash. The front end was pushed all the way back to the passenger seats and back. She managed to get out of that with no injuries at all. Her and my niece's
home. Praise the Lord. Good. All right, good. Just a few blessings. Good. All right, Genesis 50. I'm going to start at verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall you say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, thy trespass of thy brethren, and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, Forgive the trespass of the servants of God, of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept, and they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, for I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. All right, let's talk about Joseph and his cause. Father, thank you for the chance to teach. Thank you for the chance to be back together, Lord. Thank you for the church, an open door, godly church, Father. People who want to learn, people who are hungry, we thank you for the opportunity to preach, Lord. Lord, it'd be an honor to preach and great to preach, even if it was rebellious and hard people, Father. And I just praise you that we have people who want to learn your word. And I pray you'd speak now and do a mighty work and give us your truth and to help us to see this cause and help us to also in our lives live with causes and your cause most of all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Joseph was... of course, imprisoned into slavery by his brothers at about 17 years old and sent down to Egypt. And he was given a cause. He really, before this, he had at a young age got a vision from God. He had two dreams that he thought that were supernatural. And so one about basically groups of corn bowing down to him in the middle, and then about the stars and the moon and the sun all bowing down to him, and he had that. And so that was his dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him for it, because it meant that they were going to bow down to him, and he thought that's ridiculous, and he was just the little one, and not the littlest, but a little one, and the second one had his mom and dad also doing it, and he's given a vision by God, and he had that. And his cause became, in the end, which nobody understood, even Joseph. Now, that's very important right there. Be very important for many of the lessons we'll teach. Joseph did not know anything about his cause. He just knew to be faithful for what God gave him. I want to say that. That is so often the situation. And everybody in this room, God has a plan for you. You may not know that plan until the end. And you'll never know that plan if you don't do the will of God for your life. You will just pass, live, die, and you will wonder, what was that all about? And you'll have missed out what you were designed to do. And that's the first thing I want to say is he was given a vision by God. Genesis 37. We'll go to Psalm in a minute. Genesis 37, verse 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said to them, "Hear, I pray you, the dream which I have dreamed. And behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves," sheaves are bundles of crops like corn or whatever, "arose and stood straight," or wheat or whatever. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said, "Shall thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou have dominion over us?" So he had something to do. He had these visions. He saw God had made him special for something, and there was something going to happen, but he didn't know what it was. I think humanity, I know talking to my kids and what their lives as they're growing up quickly and stuff, what they're going to do with their lives, all of them are excited about whatever God has for them. I think they want to see. They want to see what God has for them. They're excited. There's kind of things they would like to do with their lives. They're excited and open. And I think all of us are like that. And I believe you shouldn't lose that, because we were made for something, and God has something. And Joseph knew, and he just told his dream. He was just a kid telling his dream. He didn't know how upset it'd make everybody. And Joseph just did his thing and just told him about it. And verse 9, he dreamed another dream and told his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And told his father and his brethren, his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I, my mother, and thy brethren indeed come bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, and his father, but his father observed the saying. His father had seen supernatural things, and certainly came from a family who saw supernatural things. And so his father said, now, we shouldn't bow down to you or anything like that, but you know, that's interesting you're saying that. And so he had something given by God to do. Let me take it, keep your finger there, but turn to Psalm 139. I preached this last week at a teen retreat to the teenagers, And God blessed, and we had three teenagers surrender to the ministry. And Psalm 139, I didn't preach this message, I just taught a little bit out of Psalm 139. And verse 14 says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Understand, the Bible says you are made. Okay? The two words it's going to use are made and formed, not evolved and happened. Okay, you are not a cosmic accident. You are not this random, "Oh, I wish I wasn't so short. I wish I wasn't so this or that, the other thing." Listen, you were formed. God made you. Okay? And in my mother's womb, by the way, verse 13. "Fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous are all thy works, out thou knowest right well. Verse 15, "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought, specialty made. I was uniquely designed in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, being yet unperfect." That means before I was made, you saw me. And then it's going to give more detail. "In thy book, all my members are written." Okay, so God wrote down every part of you, all your members, all your ear, your nose, your everything. All my members are written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. See, that just said is God wrote down every detail of you in a book before you had one part made, before you were ever conceived. God wrote down the details about you. Now understand, that means you are designed ahead of time for a purpose. You know, there's a lot of combinations in your DNA. Now we understand DNA a little more. There's a lot of combinations. I mean, look at my kids. Same mom, same dad. We have, my wife and I don't have brown, neither one of us have brown eyes. We have two kids with brown eyes. Okay, we got blue eyes, green eyes, hazel eyes. Why? Because there's a lot of, and God says, I'm going to form you just like this. That means you're designed for a purpose, and you have to understand that. God has a plan for you. God has something for you to do. God made you good at some things and not good at other things. But you never find out that plan. You never fit into the niche you are made. You never, there is this certain shape, hole in life that only you fit into. There's a certain people you can only you can influence. You know how many people that I am not great at influencing? Nobody is made for everything. There's a bunch of things I am not good at. Okay? But it's a bunch of things that only I can do. I don't spend all my time thinking about what I am not good at and coveting being somebody else. I try to spend time doing God's plan and what he made me for. Okay? If a Porsche sits there and just says, I just wish I could go four-wheel drive and I just wish I could go over rocks and over hills like a Jeep. Okay, if they try it, it's not going to go well. But the Jeep can't take corners like a Porsche. When the Jeep tries that, the Jeep rolls off the hill sideways and flips and rolls and kills it. You're made for a purpose. There's nothing wrong with the Jeep. There's nothing wrong with the Porsche. Right? But they're made for different things. Not that any of us will ever know the Porsche part. They're made differently. You're made differently. And you're made fearfully and wonderfully. God did a good job. And when you get that, you can be very secure. You can be very secure. I walk away from a conversation and I think this, my mind says, I wonder if they're trying to say something to me that I didn't get. Because I never get subtleties or cute hints or anything. I cannot get them. You could give me the biggest hint. You could say, boy, there are a lot of people whose hair is messed up on the left side of their head who I'm talking to right now. I won't get it. If you say, your hair is messed up on the left side of your head, I'll say, oh, okay. I don't get any. My mind is not subtlety driven. If you thought you gave me a clue and I got it, I didn't. I promise. Whatever it was. Okay, I laugh at that, and I think, man, people think that I get clues. They give me a hint. I don't understand that stuff. My mind is like, and if you don't say, then I, that's nice. Why do they talk about, you know, that? That's weird. Anyway, what was I doing? and the conversation's behind me. I laugh at that stuff, but I don't sit there and kick myself because I'm like that. Hey, I'm very focused. I can get a lot done. Now, I don't understand when somebody's trying to say something subtly or give me a hint or give me a clue. I don't understand it. Say, if you want to say something to me, say it. Tell me, you're really ugly, pastor. Fine. All right. Good. You don't need to give me a hint. And, you know, I know people I'm talking to aren't very handsome. Okay. Well, I wonder where they're talking. Anyway, what was I doing? I don't get it. So I look and I say, why aren't I like that? No. Why don't I have more hair? Because my face is so handsome. It's a disadvantage compared to other men. So. He's got to take my hair to make it equal. I don't have to kick myself all day. I don't have to kick myself because I'm made a certain way. I can do certain things good and I can't do certain things good just like you. But I'm made for a purpose. You're made for a purpose. You probably have some things you're very good at. Actually, you're meant to do great things with those things. You might not even know. Sometimes it's your quirk. But you're good at it. And God gives you a gift. And he was given a vision by God to do something specific. Number two, he fulfilled a great cause because he served the Lord no matter what. Listen, the story is Joseph is told by his dad one day, go check on your brothers. Your brothers are taking care of the sheep and stuff, and they're working. So go check on your brothers. And so Joseph had been given a coat of many colors by his dad, and that was another reason his brothers coveted him, because his dad loved him more. And so he goes to go take care of his brothers, and he's doing what his dad wants, and his brothers see him coming and said, hey, dad's not around, let's kill him. And so they throw him into a pit. They're going to kill him, then they throw him into a pit. Then they decide, you know what, there's some slave drivers, let's sell him into slavery. And one of his brothers helped out to keep them from killing him. And he had obeyed his dad. Now he gets sold into slavery. He's brought down to Egypt. Just stop for a second. Let's make this down to our level. Let's pretend along came a drug cartel secretly this afternoon, waiting outside the door of your house. They grab you, throw you in a car, and you wake up in Guatemala. And you're a slave for the drug cartels. You're their cook, you're their cleaner, and they are, you are a slave. Can you imagine that? Now, you understand, we think a little differently. We think of, we could escape this way, we could call these. He couldn't get on the phone. Okay? If he wanted to walk back, he had to walk along a big, long desert through the country he's walking through. By the way, just imagine if you had no electricity and you're in Guatemala and you got to go all the way through Mexico to get back to America. Anything could happen to you. Let alone you got to eat and drink and go through deserts. And he goes there, and what does he do? He gets sold to a guy named Potiphar, who is a high military guy, and he becomes an incredible, incredible worker for him. Now let's make it worse. Let's pretend outside of your house when you're about to get kidnapped, there was your brother. And your brother is taking money because he's setting you up and he's selling you to them. So we say, well, I can see that part of it. oh, that's discouraging to hear that. But and your brother sold you, your sister sold you to be a slave in a foreign country. Now you're going to get back just to kill your brother or sister. Okay? And you know what you'd be doing? You'd be down in Guatemala or Honduras or Costa Rica or Ecuador or wherever you are. And you'd be saying, you know what? I can't believe they did that to me. I can't believe my brother did that to me. They sold that and they just took my house and they did that. And you'd be, we would dwell on what happened to us and how unfair it was and what happened to our relatives. And we would dwell on these things instead of focusing on where we are. Listen, for a lot less things, we spend our whole day at work grumbling. Then, oh, being sold into slavery. and so that's where he is, but he focused on that. Watch this. Look at Genesis 39 and verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer in Pharaoh's, captain of the guard of the Egyptian, bought him to the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And the master saw the Lord was with him, and the Lord had made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. He made him an overseer over his house, and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught that he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. So this Joseph doing such a good job, he puts Joseph over all his house. Joseph is sold at either 17 or maybe when he's just 18. And now he's down there. And now shortly afterward, he's working with Potiphar. And he rises up because he does such a good job. And everything he touches turns to gold. And he does it great. And he becomes this blessed servant. And Joseph is loyal and works hard and is faithful to this man. Why? Because that was what was put in front of him. Now, I don't know that we would do a very good job at that. I do not know that we would just grumble and say, well, there's a bunch of pagans and they're not children of Israel and I'm here in slavery and I shouldn't be here anyway and I'm getting ripped off and I'm a slave and I'm not going to work hard. I'm not going to do anything. But God put him in Potiphar's house. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. All things work together for good. And so there he is. There he is. You say, well, Joseph doesn't know anything. All he knows is now he's been a slave, sold by his brothers, and now he's in Potiphar's house. He does not know why. He doesn't know anything. He just knows this is where I am. I'm going to work hard and do a good job. And he is being blessed, even though it's out of his control. Well, what happens is Potiphar ends up, his wife tries to commit adultery with him, and he's thrown into prison. In chapter 39 and verse 20, and Joseph's master took him and put him into prison in a place the king's prisoners were bound, and there he was in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keepers of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed under Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord is with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So now you're in Guatemala, and you are now taking care of the prisoners. And he is in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife tries to commit adultery with him, and Potiphar's gone. And day after day after day, and finally Joseph, she grabs him, and Joseph runs, and she had his coat in her hand. And then she calls and says, look, he tried to rape me, and tells Potiphar he tried to rape me, and he is falsely accused and thrown into prison. All he's done, by the way, he told her, I cannot do this evil against God, and your husband, my master, has trust me, and I can't do this thing. I'm going to be faithful. So he does the right thing, and he flees youthful lust. He does everything he's supposed to do and ends up in prison. Now, a lot of people get bitter at God right then. I've been doing right. I'm a slave in Egypt. Now I'm falsely accused and I stayed faithful to you, God, and I didn't commit adultery, and now I'm going to prison for it. What does Joseph do? Okay, how can I be the best prisoner? And he's such a good prisoner, they put him over. Can you imagine if you got put in prison in that foreign country where you were enslaved? And they gave you the keys to prison and said, you know what, you're over everything. You're over all these people here. You make sure you keep the prisoners being good prisoners. I got a plan. And I'm escaping with prisoners. And then I'm gonna make them shoot all the prisoners while I get away. But Joseph, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do with thy might. And so Joseph went and became a good, faithful prisoner. And God was with him, and God blessed him. Then ends up, Pharaoh has a dream, and only Joseph can interpret it. He goes in front of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, what should we do? And he has a dream of seven skinny, dying, bony cows coming out of the river. And then after that, seven fat ones do. And then the seven skinny ones eat the seven fat ones. And devour them. And he said, what's the dream? And Joseph tells him, he says, the dream is there's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years, I reverse that, but 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. And during the 7 years, you need to put away and store all the food. So when the 7 years of famine come, you can eat that food for that time. And so he put Joseph over that, and he became the number two person in the kingdom. And that's what Joseph does. Joseph prepares himself. Joseph does good. Look at chapter 41. Verse 14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came into Pharaoh. Notice he did his best. Try to look good. Try to do his best. Try to be as presentable as possible. He was always trying to do his best. In a lazy generation of people who do minimal and just follow and say, I don't have to do that. Let me tell you, this should stand out to you. Because you probably, to one extent or another, you probably, not everybody, but most of us, it's part of this, the culture we live in, you probably are a minimalist in many ways. I don't have to. I can get by with this. And you live your, but Joseph said, hey, whatever I have to do, I'm going to do with my might. I'm going to, whatever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. The Bible says. There's nothing secular for a Christian. Colossians 3 tells us that very carefully. 21, 22, 23, 24. Those verses say you do it for God. You do everything for the Lord. And now, if your boss wants you to, you know, not be too thorough on something, then you do a good job for your boss and do what he wants. But whatever, you please your master in all things, the way the Bible says it. And you be good at that. Now, I want to say this. Because he did a great job and didn't get discouraged and kept doing the right thing, including staying pure and all the other things he did, the Lord blessed him no matter where he was. Chapter 39 and verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. Verse 5. Middle of verse, it says, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor. Verse 23, and the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord is with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Listen, no matter where he was, God was blessing him. The Lord was not saying, oh no, how did Joseph get here? What are we going to do? Angels were in a mess. You understand that? He was fine everywhere he went. Amen. Why? Because he had a big God who was controlling his life and he was still serving God. Amen. When he was with Potiphar, he's serving God. When he was in prison, he was serving God. Wherever he was serving the Lord, and that is a protection, that is safety, no matter what. I love to be prepared. I just love preparation. I'm not one of these weirdos on TV who has 75,000 bags of, you know, MREs and, you know, whatever. I'm not that. But I always have water and food in my trunk, and I always have flashlights around, and I have ways of stashing money, and when I go to a foreign country where nobody can get it if they rob me and things. And there's a lot of things I like being prepared for. Listen, the greatest preparation for everything is being close to God. Amen. You're fine no matter where you go. The economy can collapse. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Amen. Being prepared is being right with God. And God can take care of anything. Hey, one of the prophets ran out in the middle of the wilderness with no food, and God just had the ravens feed him. Just serve the Lord. And he fulfilled a great cause because he served the Lord no matter what. Boy, we're such a weak generation. The things people get bitter at God for, they would have gotten bitter. They wouldn't have got out of the pit that their brothers threw into before they're bitter and not able to be blessed anymore. Let alone sold in slavery, let alone in Potiphar's house, let alone being faithful to Potiphar and then getting thrown in prison for it. He fulfilled his great cause because he never got sidetracked with bitterness. Next, number three, the cause was not stopped by what could have stopped him. By what could have stopped him. He could have given up because he was depressed and mistreated by his brother. You know, people just throw in the towel. He could have... All of a sudden, his brothers pull him out of the pit. They say, all right, take him. And the Egyptians take him. The brothers take the cash, $2,500 or so. They take the cash. And how many of your family members would sell you? Never mind. He went and you know how you, when you give up, he just fall on the ground and said, drag me to Egypt. I'm not going. I don't care. I hate life. I don't want to live. He could have given up. He could have went into prison and sunk into depression in that darkness of prison and not want to talk to anybody and attacked every guard who came to talk to him. He could have sat there and griped every day in prison about how he's mistreated. He didn't let that stop him. He could have been given up because of depression, because of his brother's mistreatment. He could have fallen with Potiphar's wife. There was nobody to watch him. His whole nation and God, and all the leaders and the godly people of his nation, they were a long way away. He could have been a bad prisoner and just pitied himself. He could have not helped Pharaoh. I don't know how much I would want to help the leader of the country who I was a slave in. He could have had his brothers in prison or killed. The story goes is basically he was in prison. There was a baker and a butler. They both had dreams. One of their dreams was their head was going to get cut off. The other dream was in 3 days, you're going to be restored to Pharaoh. That was the butler. The butler and Joseph interpreted his dream. And Joseph said to him, "Will you remember me when you get to Pharaoh? I've done nothing wrong." And the butler goes back to Pharaoh, goes back to palace, and forgets Joseph for 2 years. And then Pharaoh has a dream. Joseph's brought before him. He tells him the interpretation of the dream. And Joseph is put as a number two man in the kingdom. And they have food when nobody else in the world has it because he is faithful and saves that food. Well, Joseph's family, his 11 brothers, are all back in Canaan. And they hear there's food in Egypt. And so they go down there to get food. And guess who has all the food? But he looks like an Egyptian. His haircut is like an Egyptian. He's wearing Egyptian clothes. He speaks fluent Egyptian. And there he is. And they don't even recognize him. And he recognizes them. And he could have just said, "Hey, guys, remember me? Cut their heads off." And that's what he could have done. He could have sold them as slaves. That would have been easy. He could have lowered himself to their level because it's fair. But he would have been one of them. They weren't being blessed. They were staring at each other when they were hungry. Think about cannibal soup or something. He could have had them so many things. Now, he wanted to get his little brother up there. He wanted to find out information about his family. He sent them away, but he returned the money to their sacks and on two different occasions. And he said he kept one of them back, and he said, "I don't believe you're spies. Bring back your youngest son," which is actually Joseph's brother. They had different moms, but Joseph's actual brother from mom and dad. And he said he wanted to see his brother, and so he said, "Bring back the youngest one," because they left the youngest one behind. And so the dad wouldn't send him. And they ended up coming back, and then Joseph put some treasure in one of their sacks and brought them all back. And now, Joseph eventually got the dad, got the whole family there, or spent time with his dad, got all the kids down there, and they ate, and they lived in Egypt. I want to say, he could have done a bunch of these things. Do you think he... We just see, he doesn't say much, the Bible doesn't say much about how he felt, but just one little verse, chapter 42, Genesis, I'm sorry, it's 40, and verse 14. "But think on me when it shall be well with thee," this is the butler, "and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into this prison." Verse 23, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him." Nobody has been good to Joseph. Nobody. His brothers, Potiphar, Potiphar's wife, the butler. Nobody's been good to him. But Joseph did not lower himself to the level. He did not let any of these things ruin him. Because God was in charge. God had to wait 2 more years before the time of the famine and the judgment and Pharaoh and everything. God just got to line everything up, and then he was going to bless. But he would never gotten there if he would have ever let himself be ruined. Next, the Lord's sovereignty can bring causes to pass despite human frailties. Eventually, his family's fed and everything, and we find his chapter 50, we find his cause. Remember, as far as we know, Joseph, all he had is a dream, they bow down to him. Okay? That's all he knows. They end up bowing down to him. He remembered the dream when his brothers were there in Egypt and bowed down to him. However, he does not know until Genesis 50 at the end. verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me." Were they doing wrong and intending bad against him? Yeah, it says that. Ye intended evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. They thought he was going to kill them. But Joseph said, hey, all your evil intentions were part of God's plan. And I need to get down to Egypt, and I need to be here in this land, because this is the land God is going to feed and do all this stuff. And God, this is all part of God's plan. You were sinning and selling me, but God used your sin. He used your selfishness. And he said, it can't thwart my plan. I explained it this way. One guy's holding me, and the other guy's going to beat me, and the guy is about to punch me in the face. I dodge my face aside, and he punches the guy holding me and knocks him out. He meant it for evil, but we used it for good. Okay? Was he trying to do something bad to me? Yes. But it made me get released from the guy holding me. Okay? God can do that because God's sovereign. God knows when people are selfish and bad and going to do the wrong thing. But all things work together for good to them who love God. We're called according to his purpose. God's sovereign is, look, the butler forgot him for 2 years. But that's okay. No matter how good Joseph was to somebody else, they weren't good to him. But that was part of God's plan. And he had a cause and he had something to do. Save his family and save a nation. Okay? Save a family and save a nation. That was his cause. Yet he didn't know all that when he was 17 years old and walking in chains behind a bunch of camels. But he's got a big God in heaven, and so he just stayed faithful. And God was with him, and God blessed him. And everything he did, God blessed, because no matter where he was, God was still God. I want to say this in understanding that no one can ruin your life or God's plans if you stay on track. Now, they can do all kinds of things. They can harm you, hurt you, do all kinds of things. But no one can ruin you and thwart God's plan for your life. You're in the hands of God. They will not be able to do anything. No weapon formed against you shall prosper unless God allows it. And you are in the hands of God. So don't live your life. Joseph did not live his life in the past and mistreatments. Joseph lived in the day he was in and did a good job that day. I have taught pastors this many, many, many times. And many pastors have talked to me here in the States and overseas. And they said, what do you do when a person wants to do this? And they're griping about this. They're nipping about this. And people are just, listen, I can't tell you what to do with every single criticism and the nitpickiness of people and every little thing they want to fight about. I said, listen, the way I illustrate it is you get in your car and you're with your family and you're driving to Disneyland. And as you're driving, there's a bunch of chihuahuas on the side of the road. And they all go yip, 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 yip at your car and chase your car. You can do one of two things. You can stop your car and get out and say, why are you barking at me? I didn't do anything to you. Or you can keep driving to Disneyland and let the dogs chase you as long as they want and let them yip. Okay? In life, there's the yippers, there's the problem people. But if you stay focused on what God has for you to do and do a good job with what God has for you, let the yippers yip. They only stop you if you get out of your car and fight with them. Or put it in reverse and run them over. No, don't do that. But you just, Listen, there's times when you have to deal with a certain criticisms. I want to say this. Those who are doing great things are always under attack. It's biblical. It's historical. It's always that. By those not doing anything. Okay, that's always true. Always will be true. Who's attacking Jesus? You're healing on the wrong day of the week. Go heal him yourself on the right day. Knucklehead. I mean, just it's the way it is. What does God have for me to do today? And yet you can say, oh, I had a terrible. Your week that was terrible is gone. You have a new day. The sun's shining out there. You're in church. It's a good day. What does God have for you to do today? Do it good. Have a great day. Don't sit here, well, when I was 4 years old, when I was 9, last year, my uncle, last week, my... Listen, if you want to live in all the miserable moments in your life and keep reliving them, go ahead. You're going to miss out on a great day today. You're going to miss out, man. Have a great day. You say, what am I going to do? Don't worry about tomorrow. It'll never be tomorrow. It's always today. If it's ever tomorrow, gripe all you want and worry. If you're sitting there saying it's not today, it's tomorrow, then fine. Gripe all you want and complain and be miserable. Fine. But only on today, have a great day. Okay? Because the Bible says, take no thought of the morrow shall take thought of itself. Sufficient of the day is evil thereof. Tomorrow's got enough problems. Don't pull tomorrow's problems into today. You're doubling up. Trust me, you'll still have problems tomorrow. You're just worried about them a day early. Okay? And so, don't do that. Listen, serve God. Whatever he puts in front of you, do a great job at. Trust that God has put you where you are and be faithful. And just don't let all the things that happen and all the hurts and all the unfairness, you're in an unjust world. Don't go down to their level. You do well. You do good. Because there's a sovereign God who's in control of all things, who can work all things together if you do the right thing. Those who love God keep his commandments. So let's make sure that we fulfill our cause because we keep doing the right thing no matter where our cause needs to take us. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd help us to do right. Help us to be like Joseph. What a great example, Lord. Of a man who just never let the unfairness of life get him down. And I pray that we do the same. Bless the truth in our hearts. And may we have victory, Lord, in these things. And thank you for your word. What a great example. What a great life. What a great victory, Lord. What a great God who's sovereign, who worked all these things out. Help us, Lord, to not stop the great purpose and cause for which you made us because we get sidetracked. And we thank you for the word of God. And help us to live this way. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Who say, you know what?